My name is Gordana Cager. I'm here to tell you only that, to the best of my knowledge and information that's been made available to the public, that the extent of the penalties that Mr. Hitchcock has suffered, financial penalties, is approximately $6,000. And I'm just going to ask you whether you think $6,000 is enough for the crime that was committed on that property. I'd also like to state that Mr. Winkelpleck has been quoted in public, in the media, that you are able to request conditions on the permit process that's before you today. Your hands are not tied. You do have the opportunity to hold this gentleman, this business owner, this contractor, responsible for the actions that he committed. And it was a crime. And I'm here only to ask you whether or not you think $6,000 in penalties is enough for the crime that was committed on that property. Thank you.
Good evening, Ann Cantrell, and my address is on record. I know you have a lot of information both to listen to and to read, but I would direct you to the letter that's in your packet dated March 23rd, 2009, from Craig Beck, and this was a letter to Mr. Hitchcock right after the destruction had taken place. You'll see that he says, "We have reviewed the proposal to place recreational soccer fields on CDIP subareas 23 and 24, and based on our review, placing soccer fields in area 23 and 24 south would be inconsistent with allowable uses outlined for these areas under the current CDIP requirements." And in the letter, Mr. Beck refers to the brackish pond that was supposed to have been used as mitigation, and the other area was to be used as an overlook area and interpretive center for the bordering marshlands. He goes on to tell Mr. Hitchcock all the things that he would need to do if he wanted to put soccer fields there. He'd have to get an amendment to the local coastal program, CDIP. He'd have to get the environmental review as far as CEQA was concerned. And at the end, he says, "Therefore, prior to any grading or vegetation removal, the applicant is required to obtain a local coastal development permit." And he also refers to CEQA review for that the proposed development might have on the environment, including but not limited to any nesting sites for protected species. So even if this land is not wetlands, which I think it is, and a number of biologists have said it is, it is habitat for nesting species, and this was something that was destroyed. It is kind of hard after the fact to say, well, he should have gotten a permit, and since he didn't, he needs to be fined. But that's the way our law reads. If you're going to change your house, you have to get a permit. If you're going to change your property, you have to get a permit. And he didn't, and therefore, he needs to be to have some sort of punishment. And at this point, the only thing I can think of is money and restoration to the land to get it back to the way it was. Thank you.
Good evening, Chairman, Commissioners. My name is Mike Ruley. I got five issues I want to talk about. First of all, I'd like to say that I used to be formerly was a vice president of an engineering construction firm here in Long Beach that employed upwards of 1,000 people. And for a person to say they didn't know they needed a permit and the things that he did to spend $2.7 million on a piece of land, and then a couple days later start grading it without saying he needed a permit. It's ridiculous. Anybody with that type of expertise knows what you need to do in this case. Second of all, I'd like to say that the environmental company that the city hired to say that this wasn't a wetlands actually advertises on the internet to people and says that, come to us developers, we can help you develop land that's wetlands. They actually advertise that they can find ways to help developers develop wetlands. So that's the people that the city staff hired. Third thing I want to say is I don't understand Mr. Beck's statement. I think he said if they would have met with us, we would have told them, I quote, would have told him about the coastal development permit requirements. That is exactly the opposite of what he's been quoted in the newspapers several times, where he said that they met prior to this in Councilman DeLong's office and advised Mr. Hitchcock of all of the requirements. So how is it that you can say, if they would have come to us, we'd advise you, but on the other hand, you say, oh, we advised them. I also want to say that on 4 days after the wetlands were scraped, the city met with Mr. Hitchcock. And I talked with a staff person who attended that meeting who told me that the city had determined that they weren't going to do anything to Mr. Hitchcock 4 days afterwards. The decision was already made. City staff had decided that they weren't going to do anything to Mr. Hitchcock. I pose to you, you're the planning commission, you're the stopgap. You're the guys that are supposed to represent us as citizens, represent us as the city. You're the people who are supposed to correct the mistakes that the city staff makes. This is your job to do that. We look for you to make a correct decision on this. But before you make your decisions, I respectfully have two requests. Number one, based upon some of the activities that have occurred here in the city just recently, I ask for you, each commissioner, to state whether or not and how many times you have been contacted by Mr. Hitchcock or Mr. Dean, since he has a large financial interest in, or any of his representatives and lobbyists since the planning, the zoning administrator meeting in October 16th. I'd like for each commissioner to state how many times they've been contacted, if at all. And second of all, I'd like each commissioner to state whether or not their relationship with Mr. Hitchcock, Mr. Dean, or any of their representatives would cause you to recuse yourself from making a decision today. I have those two requests respectfully. Thank you.
Larry Goodhue, clerk has my address. I would begin by repeating very briefly in because I think it's important, really mentioned. And I would suggest maybe you would like to get some guidance from the city attorney when it comes time to speak as to what a trier of fact expects in terms of and defines as ex parte communication. Any that you may have had since the run-up of this, beginning with the first time you dealt with it, with the principals or any of his finance people. And speaking of trier of fact, I would remind this commission, and I don't know who was on the commission when the city staff recommended approving, and the planning commission approved, city council approved the Home Depot, only to have the city council, the planning commission, and the staff essentially taken to the woodshed by the superior court, essentially rejecting the position. I think you will be more well advised to listen to, and I'm not an expert, but the people that came up and spoke prior to me who have the training and expertise, I think you'd be well guided to listen to that. And I would hope that you would not embarrass yourselves or embarrass this city any more than it has been in the last 2 weeks by what has unfolded in terms of ethics and questionable ethics on the front pages in the newspaper. And to the point, as my understanding is, last week the city council, two professors of ethics from Cal State University came down here and essentially took the city to the woodshed. I would hope that you just do not buy into and do not let them make a fool of the commission by buying into the concept the developer did not know he needed permits. Don't leave that as a stain on your legacy. The land needs to be made 100% whole. You don't have to be an expert. Schooled is what many of these people are, in the sciences they are, to look at that those pictures and not feel repulsed of what you saw. To vote for the city's position in view of that is something that would last on your legacy forever, and I don't think you would embarrass yourself or this city by doing that. And I think, and my hot button, of course, is, as they pointed out, the land is not suitable for a soccer field. Soccer is a tremendous sport, but it is non-coastal dependent. You can have it any place. Make that place whole. If he took down your house, you would not take a pup tent as a replacement. Thank you.
My name's Carrie Ailey, and I think there's one thing that the commission needs to consider seriously is if you do deny this appeal and state that the property owner does not have to restore the land, where do we proceed from here? Because normally when you develop coastal sensitive land, you get a delineation study, you study the land, and you determine whether it truly is wetlands. And I'm not an expert at all, and I defer to my environmentalist friends. But if you don't do that, what you're basically saying is it's okay for someone to go 8 feet deep, scrape off all evidence of any natural habitat, and then say it's not a wetlands area or a habitat. And so if you allow this, where do you proceed from now? And does that allow anyone else in the city to do that? I'm aware that there's a constant battle with property owners who are constantly trying to scrape off any sort of natural habitat, get rid of animals, and that kind of thing. So how do you proceed from here if you deny this appeal? You're just basically footballing it to the Coastal Commission, and I don't think the city should do that. I think the city should take ownership of this property, especially with this land swap coming up. They're saying that they're going to have this land for a period of time. And is this the same sort of attitude that the city's going to have towards that parcel also? If they allowed this property owner who illegally did this without permits, destroyed the land, so you can't really do an adequate wetlands delineation study, and it's just wrong. So you're sort of putting yourself in this circle here if you don't address the problem right now. Thank you.
My name is Monsignor Sean Flanagan. I live at 252 Granada Avenue in Belmont Shore, and I've been in this fair city for 7.5 years. And as you might detect, I come from the Emerald Isle, which I love dearly, and I go back there every year. I'm fortunate to be able to do that, and sometimes 2 and 3 times a year to do marriages and, fortunately, funerals. And in my visits there, especially in recent years, I'm horrified at the devastation of that beautiful country by land developers who ignore the ecology and the beautiful landscapes. One of the worst things is that they're going to build a highway close to the Hill of Tara, which is the most historic place in Ireland. And the Celtic Tiger came in 1995, and Ireland became one of the finest economies in the world. And the developers went mad, and they were collaborating with the politicians to be involved in this horrible destruction. So I suspected when I saw things happen with regard to the wetlands that the same thing was happening here, and tonight convinced me that it is. So I would appeal to the members here present that they act responsibility in view of the ecology and the beautiful animals and birds that we have seen that I love. I have grandnephews 11 and 7, and I think the people who do not want to preserve these things for future generations have no soul. So I will do my best as a pastor, local pastor here, to go with these honorable and erudite citizens to fight for the wetlands and our beautiful state of California. Thank you.
If we have no other speakers, perhaps Mr. Hitchcock or his representative could respond to some of the comments.